We come in our scripture reading now to the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. You'll find this on page number 1277 using the Pew Bibles. Now, the writer of Hebrews preaches a series of expository sermons using various texts. And at this portion, his primary text is Psalm 95. And what's really going on is he is saying through this psalm to these Hebrew Christians, don't abandon Jesus. I know you're getting persecuted. But the one thing you can never do is let go of Jesus, because you are saved only through faith in Jesus. And he uses the example from Psalm 95, which is about this, of the Exodus generation. And he points out the rather uncomfortable fact that almost everybody who left Egypt with Moses died in the wilderness. And he says they failed to enter, not because the gospel wasn't preached to them, but they did not combine it with faith. And he's saying, whatever you do, you can lose everything else, but hold fast to Jesus and you will enter into, this is the language of Psalm 95, God's rest, his salvation rest. Canaan is the promised land. It's a picture of salvation. It's the promised rest. You will only enter in through faith. And that is his exhortation, that they should not fail to enter in. Now, he applies it in a number of ways, and I kind of chuckle because I have been told that, you know, your applications, Pastor, tend to often involve the Bible and prayer. And there's a pretty good chance you're going to say, you know, you need to be reading your Bibles, you need to be praying. Well, that's because it's true. It's amazing what a difference it'll make to your life and my life if we'll read the Bible and prayer. But I take great comfort that's the very application that he makes. And so he says that the great statement about the Bible in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active. And so you need to be in your Bibles. It's not a dead letter. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, there's a spiritual dynamic. God is working in your life through the Word in a mighty way. And your faith, by which alone you will be saved, will be fortified and strengthened. He's going to challenge you. He's going to penetrate inside of you. Don't forget your Bible. And then he says at the end, and you have Jesus as a great high priest on the throne of heaven. Yes, it's hard. You're being persecuted and it's hard to hold on. But let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. We will receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. Let me point out there's one other application he would give, and it's found in verse 9. He says, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And he actually changes his metaphors. He's talking about salvation as the promised rest in the land of Canaan, but then he actually uses a language that technically speaks of the Sabbath day observance. It's actually this verse that made me a Sabbatarian. I was raised in a Presbyterian Reformed church, like so many that said the fourth commandment doesn't exist anymore today. You don't need to observe the Sabbath. That passed away. It was a sign that was exhausted when Jesus came. But the problem is that Hebrews says it has not been exhausted. We still have a need for a Sabbath day. We need a structure for our Christian lives. There's to be a rhythm, and part of that is a day of rest and worship. We're to prioritize the Lord's Day worship, and that's important for our growth as faith. It turns out that the Sabbath is a sign, not of the first coming of Christ, but of the second coming of Christ. And so there, I would be remiss if I did not say from the text of this passage, hold fast to Christ. You'll do so how? Through the Bible, through prayer, and you'll be greatly helped if you commit to the Sabbath. Well, with these things being said, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving Word, beginning at verse 1 of Hebrews 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed, enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.